You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. All right, welcome in. We are here live. Minor Talk is here. We're presented by the Oscar Arieta Agency. A little bit of technical difficulties out at the District West. Apologies for that. But special thanks to Danny Pedroza, who's hanging by with us here, producing the show. We're going to screen some calls if we get them our way. And we're going to talk about this UTEP football spring game here on this show. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009, to get into the program. We'll give you our full thoughts. We'll talk about everything that went on throughout the spring game. We'll talk a little bit about the garage sale. I'm hoping somebody from the garage sale right now who's listening in can bring me some great gifts to all the great UTEP material, or merchandise that they're going to be selling over there that has a lot of Nike apparel as well. And I think it was just a great day out at the Sun Bowl, great celebration all around. Danny, you're recording, correct? We're all set. And I appreciate everybody who's listening to this after the fact on demand on our 600 ESPN El Paso podcast channel. Not going to lie, it's felt a little different, right? The last couple weeks, we haven't really talked a lot of intensive UTEP stuff, and now we get a chance to actually talk about this spring game. First off, this is the first time that I got a chance to watch this team practice or be in any kind of capacity of a football game. So for that, I was thinking there's a lot that I had to take away just because it was the first time watching this group. But if you want to call in or talk about this one, 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. If you have anything on your mind as far as this matchup, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, or 600ESPNElPaso.com. Hey, I want to also give a big shout out to UTEP Zay, Alberto Reta. We had Steve out there as well. Sebastian Navarez, Perez was also there as well, and he was joining us. And it was a lot of fun to just see all sorts of people out there. Got a chance to see Sam Guzman of KTSM. Got a chance to see B. Martinez from KVIA. Got a chance to see everybody pretty much out there, which is really cool. And I think it was a great opportunity for them to honor a lot of the different alumni who are out there, have a lot of fun with the alumni as well. There was like halftime performances, halftime games. They did like a throwing contest, and it was Kavika Johnson versus Trevor Vidito. And for that kind of thing right there, Kavika Johnson had a chance to throw, and, you know, let's see who could actually throw the furthest in that category. It was Trevor Vidito, the OG, the guy who has the career record for UTEP passing yards, and he was the one who ended up throwing the long pass that ended up helping the Miners in that one. There was also a one-on-one drill, which was pretty interesting. They had a punting and then a kicking event as well, and then they had a 40-yard dash, it was Jadrian Taylor, former defensive end, and then Cornelius Brown, who, by the way, played a couple seasons in the NFL for the Indianapolis Colts, and he is somebody who's, you know, real athletic himself. Jadrian Taylor beat him by a hair, and he is now joining us on our hotline as we get things started here on the program. 915-505-6009. First off, Jadrian, I appreciate you always calling into the show. You're always welcome on with us here on Minor Talk. What did it feel like getting a chance to go out there, do a 40-yard dash, and win it? I think you came in with a lot of confidence, man.
Man, everybody was I have some supporters, I have some doubters. So it was 50-50, and I had to go out there and prove them doubters wrong, man. As simple as that.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
It felt good to be able to perform in front of the Miner crowd again. Like, I really felt like I was back on the field again.
Hey, I loved your T-shirt that you were rocking today. I know a lot of people were out there, and, you know, the coaches were decked out in polos. I think right before you were getting ready to do your 40-yard dash, you had your nice Hush Rush T-shirt, which I really liked as well, man.
The Rush or Hush shirt came out, man. It was time to put it. Now, I had to take my shirt off because he took his shirt off. I seen him take his shirt off. Everybody in the crowd was like, oh, yeah, okay, he ready. I said, man, let me take my shirt off too then.
I love it.
Show the crowd I'm ready.
Hey, what did it mean to be honored today, Jadrian?
Man, it meant the world, man, just to, like, know that, you know, what I did here won't be forgotten and everything. You know, I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this game, into this program. So, it, like I said, it meant the world, man. To see other players like myself be able to get recognition was good for me too.
What'd you notice from the two teams?
I noticed that they were very disciplined. Like, it wasn't too many mental mistakes when it came to you know, just playing the game and playing discipline. So I really do respect that. And everybody had energy out there. It wasn't no dull moments for real. I wish we didn't get Hail Mary'd on the last play, but definitely was a good game.
I like it. Hey, who is there any particular players that stood out to you that you were like, man, this guy's pretty impressive? I know we've got a lot of Kilgore guys to talk about here on the show today, mm-hmm. and this UTEP football team has a lot of Kilgore products still on the team, but anybody that stood out to you?
I hate to be biased, but I gotta talk about my cousin, A.J. Odom, man.
He balled out, number 18. I didn't realize he's your cousin. No way.
Yeah, number one, A.J. Odoms, the cornerback.
Oh, I'm a big fan. No, this is number one on the corner. He's the one from New Mexico. Big fan of him as well. They didn't even throw his way.
No, he was locking up, man.
I liked him a lot.
Good name. And who else? It was number three. I don't know his name.
Jaden Smith, wide receiver. Yeah.
That boy can ball. He's a baller, man. He's a baller. Like, straight up. I know he had at least 100 yards today, so he balled out, man. Of course. And I like Cade looked good, too, out there, man.
So tell me a little bit about Cade, because he threw a pick six, Jadrian, and he came back, and he had back-to-back touchdown drives. So that shows a little bit of resilience.
Mm-hmm. That shows that he's quarterback ready, man. If you can go out there and throw a pick six, and not be down on yourself and come back and throw two game-winning touchdowns, I mean, that's just leader, being leader, holding yourself accountable, fixing it.
I hear you, man. Jadrian, if Miner fans want to keep following you, where do they find you? You're going to be here sticking around in the community for a while. You're not leaving town anytime soon. Tell us how people can follow you.
So it's big.camo with a K on Instagram. I got Russia Hush as my Instagram as well, Russia Hush Training. And then I got JT Taylor on Facebook. And you can hit, if anybody interested in training, they can just DM me on there and I'll reply to them.
Awesome. Good stuff, Jadrian. Hey, I appreciate you joining us as always, man. Thanks again for the time, and we'll talk to you soon. That's Jadrian Taylor here on our hotline as we get things started. Our Longhorn Distributing hotline, by the way, as we get things started here on Miner Talk. 915-505-6009. Would love to get some reactions, some thoughts from the UTEP football spring game. Alberto Retta is now in studio with us as we continue. Alberto, you got a chance to be out there at the spring game. It was a pretty decent crowd, you know, when you really look at it from top to bottom.
Yeah, when the game was closing up and Kaplowitz came back into the press box, he showed us a video of the amount of people in line, and so
for the garage sale.
Yeah, there was the game was still going on, there was a huge line, so I called it 1600 people watching the game, and about at least 500 that bought tickets probably just to be in line. So yeah, it was a great turnout, and that just really tells you where this program is at. It's at it has a fan base that's really hungry, and I think that this new coaching change has delivered everything that they wanted to. You know, it was a great delivery so far. They've brought in phenomenal prospects, and they had a fast offense this time out, and I think that's really. It's been great.
So this is how I would say. I'm not going to overreact to anything. It's just a spring game so far. If you want to ask me who's further along right now, I'd tell you the defense is probably further along than the offense, just for right now. Defense was really impressive to me. I love their defensive front. Guys like Sione Tonga'uwa, who made plays today, Brighton Thompson, he made plays today. Very impressed with those two guys right there on the defensive line. Then I'm going even deeper in their defensive line. Was impressed with KD Thompson. Thomas. This is somebody who, or you know, somebody who they're going to be relying on heavily this year. He's somebody who I really thought was a big standout for the Miners. Dimitri Madden, he had a pass breakup and a quarterback hurry. Really liked the performance we saw from somebody like him. I mentioned somebody like Logolova. He was impressive as well. Katie Johnson, though, this is a guy who also came from Kilgore, just like Jadrian Taylor, just like somebody like AJ Odoms. Really impressed with those guys. So defensively, I think that's where the Miners are a little bit further along. Jaleel Williams-Evans, he was the guy who took the safety for the Miners, number three. He took back a pick six from Cade McConnell, and then Cade flipped it around, and he had a touchdown drive for the blue team. He had a touchdown pass out to one of their newer wide receivers, which was, you know, a little bit impressive to me. And in this one, I think on this side, it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was Kenny Odom who ended up catching it in the back end zone of the corner. But before that, Jaden Smith had a touchdown grab for the Miners as well. Jaden Smith, the wide receiver from Eastern Kentucky, he's the guy I think a lot of people were really impressed with as you know, kind of like a sleeper right there for the wide receiver position. Very impressed with what we saw from the likes of him. I would also like to point out some of the other offensive players that I was really impressed by. Javon Jackson, number four, running back. He played with the orange team, liked him a lot. Ashton Nickelberry, he wore number zero. Same with Cam Thomas, he wore number five. And also really liked what we saw from, you know, Trey Goodman. He was somebody who wore number one. Those three were wide receivers, although Cam Thomas is considered a minor back, which is a hybrid mix between wide receiver and running back. Those are some of the names that stood out to me, I guess, right out of the gate. And so let's go over the whole format, and we'll start to break it up piece by piece. Alberto, I'll specifically ask you about the recruits. There's a lot of recruits that were out there today. What benefit did you see Miners have in hosting those kind of recruits there, knowing that, hey, they had a good complement of people out there and had a lot of alumni represented here for the spring game?
Yeah, and you had top quality in alumni. You had guys like Aaron Jones, guys who had been in the NFL. And so now you can show them, look, these guys came here to UTEP before, and now we have an even better program that can help you develop into this caliber of player. And look, they're here, and now they're paying their respects to the program, and this can be you one day. And so I think it was great. And also I think the fan base that came out, they can just be like, hey, look, that was just for a spring game. Look how many people are here to buy gear. Look, they're like, soon they'll want to buy your gear. And so it's just like, it was a great sell, I think. So far, what I saw, it was a great sell, and it was a good turnout. And also, I think what hasn't been mentioned is the intensity that was brought by the coach himself. I think that was something that UTEP has not seen ever. I don't think that the stuff that Scotty Walden is doing hasn't been seen.
So just to go back quickly to the recruiting side of things, I think it's important to also mention for the recruits, the Miners are hosted a lot of people. Walden said after the game, maybe around 30. It looked like a great amount of people. Yeah. And Zay was mentioning this to me earlier. He was saying a lot of those visits were unofficial for the Miners, which is actually pretty impressive. That means those players are paying it on their own dime to come out to West Texas El Paso and make the visit here for the spring game. So impressive as well. Want to mention this. Skylar Locklear with the Orange team, he started things off at the quarterback position. If you asked me right now, who is the better quarterback between Cade McConnell and Skylar Locklear? I wouldn't be able to answer that, you know, with a lot of conviction. I would guess and say, oh, well, Cade is probably the more prolific passer and maybe more the experienced passer. Skylar Locklear is the more mobile, dual threat, agile quarterback who's going to burn you in different ways or maybe slice through defenses in different ways. So that's how I would assess it right now. I do feel like they're going to lean toward one or the other either way and ride with them for the rest of the season. So I'm curious to see how that evaluation continues into the summer and then translate into the winter, or excuse me, in the fall period for fall camp. So that's kind of the thing that I'm zeroing in on. For the first drive, Skylar Locklear, he was the quarterback. He had a first down rush on a 4th-and-3. It was a zone read play. And then on the next play, he scrambled outside of the pocket. He had a deep pass to Ashton Nickelberry, but it was negated by an illegal forward pass. Apparently he actually crossed the line of scrimmage, and for that he ended up having a penalty on that play. First and long, Cam Thomas took a screen play for 15 yards to their 45. So I like that a lot by the Orange team. They were moving the ball. Skylar Locklear, the first impression I would have on him, and by the way, he is the redshirt freshman transfer quarterback from Austin Peay, who is somebody who the coaching staff likes a lot and somebody who the coaching staff feels like he knows their system, so they might feel a little bit more comfortable with him just by default. He had a nice drive. They drove near midfield. But then Dylan Williams, who plays the spur position, it's like an outside linebacker position, he intercepted a pass from Locklear. And then it was Brighton Thompson, who was credited with the pass rush in the hurry there. It was an immediate turnover for the defense on the opening possession for the Orange team. Blue team then had the ball. Cade McConnell, he had a nice drive, and it started off by an 8-yard pass first down play to Jaden Smith, the Eastern Kentucky transfer that we're going to be talking a lot about. They ran the ball with some of the backup running backs. Joshua Dye was probably the guy on the blue team that stood out to me the most. He wore number 27. As far as the running backs go, he was a former walk-on, and he's also a twin. One of his other twin plays defense on the minors. His name is Josiah Dye, but I was really impressed with Joshua Dye running the ball, pacing it nicely for the Miners on offense on the blue team. Then the blue team scored a touchdown. Cade McConnell had a 26-yard touchdown pass to Amari White. This was an impressive start by Cade McConnell, 4-for-5 for 49 passing yards on the opening drive and a touchdown as well. Blue team went up 7-0 with 10 minutes in the first quarter. Then the next one, we saw the Orange team go with a third down. They couldn't convert on third down. They had a couple run plays on this one. You can credit guys like Davis Burns, guys like Tavita Tafuna for coming up big on that possession right there. We saw punter Adam Jacklin. He's the North Texas punter. Alberto, I would say that probably needs to get a little bit fixed. The punting, the special teams for the Miners right now, I think that's where I could see some of the necessary changes that need to happen here moving forward, and it's more about development and just getting better.
Yeah, I think it's a practice thing, but I think that the best punt we saw today came from Dylan Maldo, number 41. He was on the blue team, and it was one punt. I think we saw one punt all day that we were all like, this is acceptable, and the rest of them were kind of shady, and even stuff from Jacqueline. So yeah, the team needs to develop there or go into the portal. I'm not sure what they're gonna do, but if they plan on punting regularly, I know that they went for it on fourth early in the game, which I don't expect them to do that regularly, right? No one would. So yeah, if you need to develop that, because you don't want to have trouble with the punt game, because that really affects all aspects of your game.
Yeah, I agree on that. I think that if you have issues in the special teams, it's going to cause issues moving forward. And it also tells you can't take Josh Sloan for granted. But even Josh Sloan, he was somebody who had a lot of during his career, some mishaps during his time. And so, this is a transition year at that punter position for the Miners. Adam Jacklin seems to be the guy. Maybe Maldo can position himself to be a nice backup or a complimentary punter if things don't go well with Jacklin, but it seems like they're going to go with the North Texas guy that they got in the transfer portal. So the blue team got the ball back after the blue team stopped the orange team on offense. So blue team gets the ball back. Remember, blue team is the one with Cade McConnell at quarterback. He started feeding Amari White more on this possession. He had a 15-yard completion to Amari White. Jaden Smith had a couple first downs on the drive as well with some nice catches. Then Marcus Bellin took a nice screen pass too. Atiq Muhammad had a physical pass breakup on defense, and nice to see the corner show some physicality. Atiq Muhammad was somebody the previous coaching staff was really high on. He has a lot of athleticism, stands I believe at 6'2" as a cornerback, and ton of athleticism. Heard today that I'm talking about Atiq Muhammad along with Maurice Westmoreland. They'll be competing in Conference USA track outdoor competition. you know, Maurice Westmoreland's going to be competing in throwing categories, and then Atiq Muhammad probably more of the sprinting or the jumping categories, and if I'd have to guess anything there. But for sure, Westmoreland's doing the throwing categories, like shot put and stuff like that for the UTEP track team, which is kind of cool. You don't typically see that, and it's neat to see some of these guys do a little cross-sport, crossover to different sports. Buzz Flabiano, he made a 28-yard field goal. That drive stalled for the blue team on that drive. The offense couldn't really convert inside the red zone for a touchdown. They settled for a field goal instead. The orange team, they were down 10-0. They had to get something going on offensively. Trey Goodman, he had an 18-yard reception in this one. He had a beautiful play there, and I think you can reflect back on that one, Alberto. He caught it on a slant. He stopped on a dime. Trey Goodman spun around and took it for 18 yards. I think Trey Goodman, he's going to be an impact player. That's the one takeaway I had from the spring game, is he's going to be somebody that the Miners rely on in the offensive game if they're going to hope to have success.
Yeah, Trey Goodman, number one, he showed us a lot of phenomenal stuff. But you know what, though? I'll say this. The skill positions in general for the UTEP Miners right now, they're showing a lot of good stuff. You know, I like Trey Goodman. I like what I saw from Jevion Jackson. I like Cam Thomas. And then on the other side, there was Caden McConnell. And I saw like a Caden McConnell, Amari White connection kind of developing. And it was kind of really special. They kind of get hot. They kind of are thinking on the same page offensively. And that's what you want from your wide receivers and your quarterback. So I saw that and I was like, that's really neat. I'm not sure if they'll both be playing come day one, but I hope that they are, because they look really, really good together. So all the skill positions that I saw for the Miners, they kind of shine, and I'm excited for it to come that. I'm excited for that come the season.
Let's move over to more with the orange team. So they started on a nice drive. It was Javon Jackson who scored from 12 yards out. He was the only player really who was having a lot of success on the ground today for the Miners. I thought the D-line did a nice job of swallowing up a lot of the opportunities that the run game was trying to get going. So it seemed like from the approach, if you had to give a nod from a play calling standpoint, I felt like they called more passing plays than they did run plays. Although when you looked over at the orange team, which was again led by Skylar Locklear, he used a lot of his own mobility, zone reads on his side, RPOs on his side, to take advantage and scramble outside in the pocket to try to get some yards. So I think it's just going to be a balance. Like, they might favor the run at certain time, they might have success, and then they'll go with the pass, and then you might see three or four straight passing plays. And then they'll go back to the run a little bit to balance things out. But I feel like this will lean a little bit more toward the passing game. How would you say the play distribution was done for UTEP's offense on both sides? If you had to make it kind of a general assumption here, Alberto.
Well, look, when I saw the blue offense on the field, I saw them have deep plays, deep pass plays established, and I saw them throw the ball deep. When I saw orange offense out there, I saw them establish deep, or I saw them run deep plays, and then I saw Locklear scramble, and that athleticism is something that excites a lot of people, and I think that that's really, it's a type of football that it sells, and it works a lot right now in D1 football. So I think that mobility at the D1 at the QB1 position is what might be favored by this coaching coaching staff, and also just because of the speed, you know, the speed that can kind of bring to your offense, it helps because of the speed that this team is running on. We saw they ran a bunch of plays on offense on both sides, orange and blue. They were running quickly, and when they weren't running quickly, you saw Walden get agitated because of it. So I think that they're just, the team's going through a transition, and we're seeing it happen in front of our eyes.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009, as we continue. 600-ESPN, I'll pass on Twitter and X. Give us your thoughts. What'd you think after the spring game? We want to hear your instant reactions. We're giving our instant reactions here on Miner Talk as we continue. Hey, appreciate everybody stopping by the district. We had some technical difficulties over there. That's why we're starting off a little bit late here on Miner Talk. If you're just tuning in here on the show, we're talking all sorts of stuff. stuff involving the spring game. We've been kind of going through a drive chart through the first half, at least. The first half was more of a traditional format. They stopped the clock. They would run the clock on, you know, the scheduled times to do so. They'd have media stoppage as well. And then the second half, it was a running clock, so it went much faster. We'll talk about how it all wrapped up, which ended in a crazy finish. Apparently in this one, it was a Kenny Odom touchdown pass from Cade McConnell, and Cade McConnell was able to help rally his team back into this one. It was just seconds left to play in this one, or actually this was as the clock expired, so the blue team won 39-35 in this matchup. And you got to give credit to all, you know, the teams for just fighting on both sides and all that kind of stuff as well. I want to give credit to some of the other players that we saw, some of the young guys. Freshman quarterback J.P. Pickles, he stepped in on the orange team. It was on the other side, Seth Mauser for the blue team. We got a chance to see some of the younger guys shine today or play today. Kevin Hurley, he formerly played quarterback for the Miners, plays now receiver for the team. He caught a couple passes in this matchup, and we got a chance to see him as a receiver for the first time. I think with Hurley, the thing that you see right off the bat is his physicality and his physical presence, right? He towers over a lot of guys. He's a taller receiver. He has good hands. I think that his IQ from when he played quarterback will help him transition nicely into being a wide receiver on this team. So that's definitely an encouraging thing as well. Another thing to mention, the orange team balanced out a nice run game. I already mentioned Javon Jackson, but Azel Jolly, number 20. I mean, this guy, he's somebody who played last year as a true freshman for the Miners, did not burn his eligibility, and he got a chance to pace the orange team nicely on the ground for them. So at the half, the score was 10-7. Not much change from, you know, that Javon Jackson touchdown early in the first half to really flip things in the second quarter. We got a chance in the second quarter to see mostly the second units for both teams go out there, and I think you saw some struggles, but where you saw the strong point, it was the defensive lines for both sides. It was a blue team fourth down stop. The orange team had drove it all the way down inside the 15-yard line. At the 6-yard line, blue team defensive tackle Sione Tangaua stuffed the run, a fourth down stop, and it was a good drive by the orange team, but an even better stop by the blue team. So I want to credit that defensive stop right there by the blue team today. And from what we saw, Seth Mauser, by the way, he's a tall dude, 6'5". And I like JP Pickle's size as well. He's like 6'3", 6'4". They're both going to be, you know, freshmen, or in Seth Mauser's case, a redshirt freshman. And so to have those younger guys learn and develop through the process as a quarterback, I think that's an encouraging thing for this UTEP football team to see. Again, 915-505-6009 as we continue here on the show. Kenny Odom, the wide receiver, he had a lot of different moments in today's game. McConnell had a 36-yard pass to Odom. They drove it all the way to the 22-yard line in two-minute drill format. But then, Alberto, you see the spring game kind of mishaps come to fruition. The high snap that sailed over Cade's head, they were right outside the red zone with just over 2 minutes to go here in the first half. The blue team definitely had a chance to score before the end of the first half, but that snap really set them back, put them all the way back around their own 40-yard line, and as a result, they ended up punting on that drive.
Yeah, I mean, with stuff like that, the mishap there with the snap and the bad punting, you can see that the team, although it shines on some sides like the offense and the defensive, the speed of the offense and the defensive plays being made, it also there's also some kinks that need to be worked out in the team. This is what they needed. They needed to kind of work through a more game situation. And to kind of see where they need more work, and now they can identify those. They've identified those things. Now they need to work on them.
Yeah, it's a total work in progress, man. It's a total work in progress from top to bottom. I would also say this. I mean, when you're looking at this team, it's also about seeing, like, all right, who's going to be somebody that had a great spring that we can build on, like you were mentioning. Mm-hmm. So if there's some certain guys who had the success over the spring, well, yeah, you're going to want to continue having that success. But on the other other side of that, if you had guys struggle, you want to see what you could do to get them on the right track. So totally with you on that. For the Miners at the half, it was 10-7. Blue team was ahead. Cade McConnell had a touchdown pass. Javon Jackson with the rushing touchdown, and Amari Wright with a receiving touchdown. I'm going to ask you for the Cade McConnell stat line here in just a second, credited to Brett Bloomquist. But at the half, the alumni got a chance to get together and play a lot of different games to just excite the fans. There was a tug of war. Like we mentioned, there was the long throw. There was the 40-yard dash. We just heard from Jadrian Taylor here on our hotline. And yeah, that was a lot of fun. I thought maybe, you know, it was a, I think that they could have done something where, you know, they introduced everybody initially, like the start of the game. And then at halftime, you're doing more alumni games with the guys to just keep, you know, keep the excitement rolling instead of having to maybe make halftime a little too long. Although it was fun. Like, how do you say that it's too long when everybody's having a blast out there? So if they're having a good time, then you can't really knock them too much. By the way, the second half just, you know, rolled through and super fast. So second half, it wasn't like we were waiting out there a long time. They breezed through that one in the second half, thanks to that running clock. Alberto, we weren't sure that Aaron Jones was going to be out there, but he and his twin brother, Alvin Jones Jr., were out there today. They had a press conference earlier today for the ANA All the Way charity softball game. It's their third annual time doing this, and it was just great to see the twin brothers out there supporting for the Miners. I know that they weren't part of the list for the celebrity coaches. They were just there to show support. And I think for Aaron himself, to be back here in El Paso after spending some time with Minnesota trying to get acclimated, I think it's refreshing to be out here and to see all the energy and excitement for UTEP football.
And the familiar faces, I'm sure. And I think that the surprise visit, it was necessary because I hate to say it, but this is a really big moment for the program, and it's not do or die.
Why would you hate to say it?
Because it puts a lot of pressure on the situation, right? A lot of people talk about how the media buys or inflates everyone's hopes, but it's just we're reporting what's happening. And look, they talk about the coaching staff talked about how they were going to bring in all these players and bring in all this speed, and they've done that. And so it is a big moment, but that also brings a lot of pressure and
to actually deliver the moment.
Yeah, yeah, and when you look ahead of what's to come for this team, it's a difficult schedule. It's a difficult schedule. So hopes are up. Everyone's hope is up, and you can feel the energy is high. So it's just a big moment. So Aaron Jones being there, it was huge. His brother Alvin Jones, it was huge. They're both big parts of the recent history of the program, and so it was important for them to be there. And look, the people that were there, the fans that were there, except Pinky, who had was a little bit busy, but all the fans who were there, the loyal ones who were committed to the program. So he was there hyping up the crowd, and I think that was important. Will Hernandez, he did a phenomenal job. I really like the halftime games. My favorite part was the throwing. I didn't think I heard you mention it, but it was the throwing. That was really, really cool. Could you throw a ball near 70 yards?
Well, I'm just going to say Trevor Vitito, man.
He still got it.
What a legend. The fact that he still can sling it that far.
That was my favorite part of the halftime, and that was fun. So that was a fun part of the energy that this coaching staff is bringing. So that's exciting, and so yeah, big time for the program, and Aaron Jones and Alvin Jones have to be a part of it. They're a part of this history.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. 915-505-6009 as we continue. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk second half action. We'll talk more of UTEP, and we'll give our we'll give out some more thoughts and reactions to the spring game as a whole. I've seen a lot of spring ball before, but I've never seen a spring football game quite like today. We'll continue more with this conversation as we continue here on Minor Talk, presented by the Oscar Arrieta Agency. More in a moment here on 600 ESPN El Paso. By the Oscar Arrieta Agency. Along with Danny Pedroza, Alberto Retta, I'm Adrian Pradas. You want to talk about the spring game today, 915-505-6009. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Thanks to Joe Ciccone. He's chiming in and he's listening into the program. I saw Steve's line video. It was the video to show the people who already stood in line. It was probably with the third quarter still going on, and it looked insane. I mean, the amount of people who wanted to get their hands on UTEP gear is great, and you know they kept saying, hey, if we sell X amount of jerseys, if we sell X amount of apparel, this could be a six-figure, seven-figure, maybe even a pretty high significant seven-figure payday for this UTEP athletic department, which is good. I mean, hey, you get a chance to throw out all the Nike gear and Nike apparel that everybody wants their hands on, and everybody wants to go out and try to get their hands on them. I think that's excellent. That's a great thing for the program, and I'm happy that they went ahead and did something like that. So really cool stuff for those people. The only thing that I asked is, hey, I really want somebody to send over photos of their football garage sale haul. So that's exactly what I'm asking for on Twitter next, 915-505-6009. This is coming in from Manny David. I made it to the game. I'm excited for football season. Are they going to have a great season? I'm not sure, but I'm all in. To cap it off, I ran into John Teicher on my way to my car after picking up some nice Miner swag. Hashtag go Miners, hashtag Miner talk. Good stuff, Manny. I want to see that. Send that our way, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next. I want to see your haul. Like, what kind of jerseys did you get, or what kind of T-shirts and stuff like that did you get? So would love to see that here as we continue. Want to also mention this. We were supposed to be live at the district. I appreciate anybody who's out there stopping by. Unfortunately, we had some technical issues out there, and so now we are live here on 600 ESPN El Paso as we continue. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. A couple other tweets to get to as well. Joe Ciccone, he's saying that he wants Miner talk. He was saying hashtag Miner talk. He says he wants to hear from Scotty Walden as well. So Scotty Walden joined Voice of the Miners, John Teicher post game. Talked a lot about his thoughts for the spring game and some instant reactions as well. Today was just a celebration. You know, you talk about excitement, talk about all the families who made the trips out here. We got a chance to see the McConnell family, which was really exciting as well. I would say that the crowd was excellent. If you had to say over under 2,000, would you say like around 2,500, Alberto, when it was all said and done?
No, I'd put it right at 2,000. I think okay. The 2,500, that's being a little generous. I think that putting it right at 2,000 is good. But that's phenomenal. I think that's great. You're going to make a killing here on these jerseys, and it's going to be great. And I think that what hasn't been stated about the jerseys and really all that's going to get out there is your branding and your imaging. It gets out into the city, and it gets out everywhere else, and that's really important. Cause soon people are going to be rocking stuff. Yo, where'd you get that? Yo, the UTEP. We minor. So it's important. So
wow, Steve's just texted into the program saying he was told 3,000 for attendance.
3,000.
Wow. I think that's an excellent thing right there. Appreciate Steve. For texting that into the program. And you figure, you talk about this UTEP team having 3,000 people at a spring game and mm-hmm. paying $5. Somebody asked me, and it was, you know, a comment before the game, when's the last time they charged for a spring game? The answer is never. I mean, they've never necessarily done this, but they've never had this much hype around a spring game. So when you're bringing the value of having all these former players to be involved in the coaching staffs, when you're having a garage sale afterward as well, when you're putting all this effort behind a game like this, then it is understandable to have, you know, a $5 charge for this, which, by the way, not like the UTEP ticket office is pocketing that money. It's going to the Gridiron Club, which is aimed to help the football program to begin with. So I would say that's a positive thing moving forward. I think 3,000 is excellent. I think they were aiming for somewhere around 2,000. I think 2,000 was right at the sweet spot. I heard that they sold 1,500 before. So if you're telling me that they got a walk-up of 1,500 as well, that's excellent. And maybe it's a little less than that, but still, if they even had a walk-up of around 1,000 people, I think that's a really positive thing here moving forward. So definitely want to continue that conversation. And I would say this as well. I mean, I was seeing this in group texts as well. It felt like this – game had more people in attendance than the last home game against Liberty. And that's just the reality. And that was senior day. That was the final game for UTEP football. So I hope that moving forward, this team can channel that excitement and actually deliver wins. I mean, that's, of course, what everybody will want to hear, you know, and everybody will want to see moving forward. They want to see wins. They want to see this team actually produce and, you know, see what they could do moving forward. Manny David just shot us a great picture, by the way, of all the items and all the different stuff that he's got out, you know, as far as his haul. He had a jersey there. It's a WAC jersey. It's number 58. He also had a basketball jersey there, number 20, and it's a Nike swoosh jersey. Did you like the selection, Alberto? He got a chance to go all white look there for his haul. Maybe paid, you know, between those jerseys right there, just a little less than $200.
And that's a great deal right there. I'm glad. He'll probably frame one. And I think that we were talking a little bit pregame, and you guys were saying how you guys really like the white jerseys. Those have been your favorite throughout the years. I'm sure that the white ones and the black ones and everything black will go first. Why? Because black's just really style. A lot just people love wearing black, and white is really it's really nice. White is really pretty color, and they've done a phenomenal job through the years with the white jerseys. So I'm glad people have been able to get their hands on stuff. I'll head over there after this wraps up, and I'll see if I'm sure the line will still be there.
I wonder if it'll still be there. Sebastian Perez Navarro, he tweeted us that they're letting 80 people in at a time. So, yeah, I mean, you can kind of go through and browse all the different things. They had some great shoes yesterday. Those are the ones that I had my eyes on. But, yeah, they had some really cool stuff just in general. Hey, as we continue, 915-505-6009. More on the team itself and more on the quarterback battle specifically, Skylar Locklear versus Cade McConnell. That's the quarterback battle that we're going to be talking about probably all the way through August, especially the first 2 weeks in August. Nothing was necessarily resolved today. I think there are things that both quarterbacks can build off of. The glaring problems, you're going to see the two turnovers that the quarterbacks had. Skylar Locklear, he had his interception in the first half. Cade has his in the second half, although McConnell, he followed up his interception with the touchdown drive, which I thought was, notable right there. So he drives his team down the field. It was Jaden Smith who was catching passes left and right. He was the one who caught, like, the 40-yard bomb from Cade that was just thrown up in the air, and it was just go up and get it, and Smith ended up grabbing that. And then Smith ended up grabbing the third and goal pass that went into the left corner of the end zone, excuse me, and Smith looked impressive on that drive. The blue team held the orange team defensively. We pretty much thought the time was over, but the coaches were really using those timeouts, and they wanted to see a little bit more stoppage at that point to get more competition for both the teams. And then on the next drive, the blue team ends up with the ball. By the way, on the previous drive, the blue team had a chance to tie the game with a two-point conversion. That was no good. They really had to hold things on defense. They did. They got the ball back on offense. They drove the ball down the field and then scored as time expired to win things 39-35. So, you know, in this one, I'd give the nod to Cade, and I think the coaching staff would have given the nod to Skylar after the first scrimmage. The second scrimmage, from everything that I heard, it was very even. It was like 50-50 split. So what we've gathered is after the three, true scrimmages, or, you know, in this case, it's the spring game, after the three ones, it's pretty even. You know, the first one, you're giving the nod to Skylar Locklear. The second one, like I mentioned, pretty even. This one, I'll give a slight edge to Cade McConnell, knowing that even though he had that pick six, he was able to rally back and had three touchdown passes throughout this game and look sharp. I think that where Skylar will lack, he'll have some challenges at times, is throwing that deep ball. I didn't see enough of that today. I thought I saw a lot of out routes, a lot of slants from him, and he was hitting his targets, to his credit. And he likes that zone read approach. For Cade, I would knock the mobility, and I would knock some of the stuff in decision-making that we saw from him. There were passes that we saw from Cade McConnell at times, where he would, you know, sail it over different people, and he would not necessarily hit his targets right there. So, yeah, that's definitely the case as we continue moving forward. Alberto, we might have some guests up front here as we continue now on 5505-6009, and we might have some of the coaches stop by from this, you know, this game that we had right here. So we'll let them in here as we continue now on 5505-6009. Also want to mention at the running back position, we saw a lot of different, you know, running backs today. Javon Jackson probably was the notable standout player on both sides for the Miners. I thought he ran the ball nicely. Marquez Taylor, we never really got a chance to see him last season, so he got a chance to really do things this year. And yeah, I mean, this time around, he's playing a lot as far as the spring game, and he's somebody who maybe could be a contributor here in the fall. But the one that I was impressed with that I did not expect at the running back position is Joshua Dye. I heard a lot when it came through the summer and when it came through, you know, all the spring ball stuff about Ezell Jolly. So he's transitioned that nicely into the spring. So, yeah, I feel like for what we've seen so far from the running back spot, that's definitely been the case as we continue. 915-505-6009, as we've got a line ringing in as we continue here on the program. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and then 600ESPNElPaso.com. Wide receiver position, some of the guys who stood out to me. Like the route running abilities by Ashton Nickelberry, Trey Goodman. He's got speed, he's got athleticism, and he's got playmaking skills. Was really impressed by him. Giovanni Gardier. We didn't get a chance to talk a lot about him late last season, but he came onto the scene in 2023. He made different appearances throughout the game as well. Marcus Bellin, physical, younger guy, but he's a killer. I'm really was impressed by him. And yeah, as we continue here on the program, let's go back out to our hotline. Let's welcome in one of the quarterbacks here for the Miners. He's our spring intern, and he's Cade McConnell, who's joining us here as we continue. Cade, you threw a pick six, but then you followed that up with a touchdown drive, and I think that speaks to your resilience, man. What were some of the takeaways you had here for the spring game?
I mean, the main takeaway, Adrian, was just how fun of an event it was. I mean, Coach Walden and the entire staff in the background working to get alumni to come back, to get fans to come out, to have all these events and the garage sale and all these different things. It was just such a fun event. I thought that our team put out some really good football out there. There were some ups for the defense. There were some ups for the offense. And there was a good ebb and flow of the game. Came down to the wire. You couldn't ask for much more than that.
Cade, what was it like to see all the competition and everybody just get after it, really, and just have a lot of fun? Because it felt like it was genuine. It felt like it was real all across the board. And it felt like, especially you guys really wanted to win this matchup.
No doubt. Every single person that stepped out on that field really wanted to win today. And yes, we're all brothers out there. We're all teammates. But I can promise you that each side was going for the win as hard as they would in a real game. And we compete every single day out on that field, whether it's in drills or whether it's playing and stuff like that. But we went out there, we competed our butts off, and I thought that the energy level and everything was awesome.
Give me your favorite pass and your least favorite pass today.
Well, obviously my least favorite pass today was the pick. I mean, I know crazy stuff happens. Sometimes it goes off, you know, defender's hands or guy's hands and ends up going the other way. You never want to see that happen, but that's on me. And then obviously your favorite pass of the day has got to be either the first one or the last one. The first one, meaning the touchdown to Amari White in the end zone. He made an amazing adjustment on it and catch. And then Kenny Odom at the end of the game, just showing speed, going out, beating the guy over the top. It was awesome.
You would have thought that you won the Sun Bowl after the celebration for that final touchdown, man. What was that like? I mean, because that was as clock expires right there, and you got a chance to show that you wanted to compete enough to try to rally your team back and win it.
No doubt. When we knew we had to get the ball back, I mean, everybody's juices were flowing. The energy was up just as if we were to get the ball back with less than 2 minutes in a real game. And I hope that the celebration at the end goes to show how much everybody wanted this and how much guys were going out and willing to fight to get the win. I mean, the competition was at an all-time high today. The celebration was awesome. The energy was awesome. The fans, the energy was permeating throughout everything. And the alumni and the coaches, all of it was just a really, really fun, special day that UTEP hasn't seen in a long time.
Let me ask you, final question. What was it like to see the alumni specifically? You touched on it right there, but what was it like to see them represent, show out? It was not just Will Hernandez and Quinton Demps who were the coaches, the honorary coaches. It was all the alumni who were there. It was the former players. And then guest appearances from even Aaron and Alvin Jones. They made a chance, or they made an appearance out at the spring game as well. What was that like?
Yeah, it was awesome to see Aaron and Alvin pop out. I didn't know that they were coming, and seeing them out there was really awesome. But, I mean, as far as the alumni goes, the coolest part about it was not just that there was alumni there, but there was legendary alumni there, and then there was also guys that we had played with, former teammates and stuff like that, and you know, former teammates from just a couple years ago, and then legends. And so there was a broad spectrum of guys there, and it does an awesome job, you know, connecting everybody back. You get to talk about some things like that. You get to, you know, kind of go through UTEP heritage, and it kind of just, you know, merges that gap between former players and current players and just creates a stronger bond and a stronger culture.
What was it like to see the fans root you guys on?
Gosh, Adrian, that was so cool. I mean, that might have been my favorite part, was that there's thousands of fans up there filling up our entire home side. They were into the game. They were excited. They were loud. And it was so cool just to see them come out, be able to support, enjoy the day in the spring, a little bit of their little dose of UTEP football in the off season. And it was just a fun day overall. So I really appreciate Miner Nation coming out. I hope they continue to support in the way that they did today. It was so cool. I know our players appreciate it beyond belief.
Well, we appreciate you beyond belief, man. Thanks for calling in. You always do it, and always appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you again next week, man. I'm glad that spring ball wrapped up, and no injuries to talk about with you.
Absolutely. I'll see you guys on Tuesday. Thank you so much again. Have a great rest of the show.
That's UTEP quarterback Cade McConnell here as we continue on Miner Talk, 915-505-6009. All right, now time to rip the Band-Aid off. He is in our studio, and he was a guest coach as well. He is A.J. Hotchkins, and he had a nice tan from today. Hey, what a blessing there. A.J., you got a nice tan? Got a chance to coach? Got a chance to be around the whole football team? And you're the most unfiltered UTEP guest that we could ask for right here.
Yeah, I did get a great tan today. I've been out in the sun the last couple of days, so I was cooking today, though, for sure. No, I thought the team looked great, and I was excited about everything that was going on. And if you were there, like the crowd was into it, everyone was into it, the coaches, the alumni, everybody. So it was a pretty cool experience, man.
Okay, tell me it all. I mean, are you in or out on this team? Tell us to it honestly, because this is you would tell us legit.
And
somebody who would not. If you're not in on this, you'd say I still don't have the best feel on this. But if you are about it, then you'd say, yeah, I could see some of the pieces right here that could lead to something bigger.
Yeah, correct. No, you know, for me right now, I'm in on the team, actually. And, I met Scotty Walden yesterday. I met the coaching staff yesterday. And I was at practice yesterday. I was really, really, really impressed by practice. I went home. I raved about, like, how, you know, just, like, attention to detail, all the things like that that, again, like, I think makes good football teams. Attention to detail. Guys in the back are paying attention at a walkthrough. The coaches are fired up. All the coaches, and, again, you know, this is just my opinion. You said I was unfiltered. All the coaches are in shape. They're running around. They got energy. The kids got energy. They're feeding off. And I think it starts from the top down. And right now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm in, you know, 100% on what's going on with the UTEP football team. And it almost even feels weird to say that because I haven't been. I haven't been at all, actually, you know. And so it's super exciting for me to see, because I take pride, again, like, you know, I played at UTEP, and, you know, I take pride in being a UTEP Miner. And so for me, I'm excited for them, and I'm excited to watch them August 31st, I think, versus Nebraska, you know.
Yeah, and when you talk about this team, AJ, there's a lot to say. I mean, they've got a new offense, really. They're going fast offensively. Defense seems a little further along both, you know, the
correct
offense and the special teams right now.
Right.
But how do you assess the team right now as a whole?
Yeah, I think you hit it, man. I think it's always easier for the defense to come together before the offense, just because, you know, like with the timing of the routes, the offensive line, like there's a lot more pieces to go together, I think, offensively than there is defensively, always, I think that, because defensively, it's like plug and play. You know, you got guys, you know, a flat player is going to play the flat. Like, you tell the guy to go to the flat, play the flat. you know, there's different techniques to play a flat. But I'm saying my point is it's more plug and play. You know, but I think the offense actually looked really good today. Cade looked really good. He bought out. He's a gamer. You know, obviously he had the winning touchdown. He looked good early in the game as well. Was super impressed by him. Number three. I'm not sure what his name is.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Smith. Yeah, that Jaden dude. Smith.
By the end of the game, I was just screaming to throw him the ball. I don't care if he's open or not, man.
He kind of looked like Jacob Cowing, man.
You throw him the ball, good things were happening. You know, there's another kid, number eight. He
Amari
looked good.
White, yeah.
Amari White. I think he was out towards the end of the game. I don't know. I'm not sure what happened. But they have some impressive pieces on offense, man. You look at the offensive line, man. They have big number 78. Collectively, man, they're a really, really good-looking group, especially for Conference USA. But like I've been saying with UTEP, man, like, again, they've had the talent. In my opinion, the last 2 to 3 years, I think that they've had, collectively, they've had the talent to go out there and win football games. Talent was not the issue. I think it was the culture of the program, and I think with you know, with coach, what Coach Walden's doing and the rest of the staff, because it's not just him. I talked to some of the coaches last night. We went out and had some conversation with the alumni, with the coaches, and all those guys seem super energized. They're bought into the program. I think top to bottom, everybody's bought in. But and this is what I told Coach Walden yesterday. Long story short, is like it's easy for everybody to be bought in for spring ball. You know, it's easy. Brand new coaching
media,
staff,
fans.
Media, everybody, fans, myself, alumni, bring the alumni back. That's when it's easy. And when I spoke to the team a little bit yesterday, I was like, who are you guys going to be when adversity hits, because adversity will hit. If you're an athlete, it's going, no matter what sport you're playing, at some point you are going to face adversity, and that's when you find out what type of football team that you have, what type of coaching staff you have, what type of program you have. And so, but as far as right now, man, and as far as I can see it, I'm a believer in what's going on at UTEP right now, and I believe in the coaching staff, and I think it trickles down to the bottom to the players, and I think that the players are bought in, the coaches are bought in. They just need to keep the family. It's a family, you know. At the end of the day, and it's like no matter what happens, we remain a family, and this is our standard. And everything Coach Walden was saying before yesterday at practice. And again, I'm not a hype guy either, because at first, I'll be honest with you guys, I was skeptical about Coach Walden. I saw some of the stuff on Twitter, and I was like, you know, I don't know, you know. And I'm happy that I went and I got to experience him, shake his hand, and he comes off really genuine to me. And you know, again, I think what I always say in my own career is like, what's done in the dark will always come to light. So, and I think he's a good man behind closed doors, and I think that, you know, when the media comes around, you know, I think he's the same guy. So genuine across the board, and I'm excited, man, for these guys. I'm excited for the kids too, because they deserve it, you know. Well, I shouldn't say deserve; they still have to earn it. But I think that, you know, like, it's never really been the kids, man. I said that 4 years ago when I was ranting on Twitter and everybody was coming after me saying that I was the bad guy for just saying the truth. And again, like, I love Dana Dimmel. You know, I'd let him babysit my son. But the culture and him as a football coach, like, you know, it's just like, you know, it is what it is, man. Like, there was no discipline. Guys show up, do whatever they want. But I've already said this because I was a coach and I was a player. And so,
you see it through a unique lens.
Yeah, I mean, that's my perspective. Is like, I was a coach and I was a player behind the scenes, and that's why I was saying, man, like, they had the talent this year. They had the talent this year. When you look at them, like, man, I'm like, they could have beat a lot of the teams that they lost to, in my opinion, from a talent perspective. But there's a lot of good football teams out there that are beating teams that are way more talented than they are, because if you go out there and you play as a team and everyone's on the same page, they're disciplined, you're a family, then you could go out there and you can win football games. That's what I believe, you know, especially in football, because it's such a team sport. It's unlike any other sport. I had a high school football team coach, shout out Coach Rucker, and he would always say, football is the ultimate, to use an old guy, football is the ultimate team game, and it's so true. If you have guys that are going out there, they're 1,000% bought into the program, the coaches are bought in top to bottom, you can go out there and you can beat football teams that are more talented than you.
So why does it mean significant? So you mentioned things like you got a chance to go to practice, you had a chance to go to you were coaching at the spring game, you got a chance to speak. You got a chance to also, not only watch practice, but then hang out with the team after the fact, like, and actually speak in front of the team. Uh-huh. Why is that important for alumni? Like, you were around it wasn't just you, it was other alumni who were there as well.
Man, that's a good question. You know, like, for me, we all do. We all got so much other stuff going on in our lives, like the alumni. Like, you know, you got guys playing in the CFL, NFL, coaching high school football, selling real estate, all these things. So like for me, I mean, like if they don't invite me back, I'm not like butthurt. I don't care. You know, I'm not, my feelings aren't hurt, you know, but it's awesome to be honored in front of one of the alumni. It hit me yesterday when he was like, he talked in front of the team. He was like, and he was one of the older guys. Like I'm young, you know, I'm fairly young. I played 3 or 4 years ago, whatever. But he was like, I had never been honored by a head coach in front of the football team or anything like that. And I think that, again, like, you know, when you go to war for the program and then you should come back and you should be honored, especially if you went out there and you gave your all. And like for someone like myself, for someone like Will Hernandez, all these guys, top to bottom, all the guys that were out there, like they went out there, they sacrificed their body, they went to war for the program, you know. And so I think it's awesome that they're bringing the guys back. And on top of that, I think it's really good for the players to be around a lot of these guys. Not let's just take myself totally out of the equation. Like you have NFL guys. Like, they can speak from an NFL perspective. You got guys that are coaching high school football now. You got guys that, like I said, they sell real estate. They're in business. You got MMA fighters, myself. Like, there's options outside of football. There's options inside with football. And there's wisdom to, like no one – if you weren't a college athlete and specifically a college football player, like, it's like an elite – or not – I shouldn't say elite. It's like a fraternity. You know, only we know like what we know, you know, like,
right.
And when you leave, and that's why another thing I told the guys is like, you'll see when you go and you live a regular life after football, you know, God willing, you go to the NFL or you play in the CFL if that's your aspiration, but that'll be over one day too. And then you'll be sitting there and you're like, man, it was cool with the boys the other day, man. We went to Union Draft House last night and, like even just me being around the other alumni, like we share something that like I don't share with everyone else because we were all college football players and we all played at UTEP, you know, So I just think it's awesome, man. And I think it's a way to get the fans interested. I think all around, it just makes perfect sense. You look at other programs, they invite the alumni back. They honor the alumni. Why? Because it looks good for everyone. It looks good for the coaching staff. It's cool for the players. The fans are excited about it. Like, it just makes sense, you know? Like, and like having Aaron at the game, having Alvin at the game, Will Hernandez, all these guys, man, it's just super awesome, man. It just creates that atmosphere. And then for the up and comers, they're looking at Aaron Jones, you know, and they're like, oh, man, like, I could be like that guy, you know, I could be like him, you know. And I think, why not? Like, if I was UTEP, I'd try to get Aaron Jones to be in the weight room every single day so, like, players could pick his brain. Players could just watch what he's doing because he's the most elite out of, in all due respect to everyone else, and I guess myself. I think highly of myself, too. But, Aaron Jones is the face
of... He's in a different territory.
He's in a league of his own as far as, like, UTEP alumni goes. Like, they should have Aaron Jones' face everywhere in the building, in my opinion. And they should do whatever it takes to get Aaron Jones in the building all the time with the kids, having them speak to the kid, whatever they need to do, whatever that takes. That's what they ought to be doing, in my opinion, because again, like, it gives, like, even for me, I'm inspired, man. I'm an athlete too, man. Like, I'm inspired by Aaron Jones. I turn on the TV and I watch Aaron Jones. I'm inspired by Aaron Jones. So like, I couldn't imagine being a running back at UTEP, you know, right now, and they're watching Aaron Jones. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm an MMA fighter. I don't even play football. But he's inspirational to me because I respect, like, I see him. I'm like, man, we were at the same school. Like, that's cool, you know? Like, he's doing amazing things. You know, he's able to protect and provide for his family off of his hard work at the University of Texas El Paso, and now in the NFL. Like, you know, how many people can say that?
Good point. So. Yeah, that's a good point. We got A.J. Hodgkins. He's here in studio as we continue. 915-505-6009. A.J., before we wind it up, and I appreciate it, you've actually spent a good chunk with us here on the program already. You've got a big announcement to make, and it will be happening soon. Where can people follow you on social media if they want to follow the journey through your MMA journey? You played football here at UTEP. You played, obviously, at Oregon. You coached here at UTEP as well. And now you're really dedicating your entire life over these past 2 years. It shouldn't even say 2 years, right? Are we having to check the calendar to make sure if it's 2 years right now? Because it looks like you are somebody who's going to be making a real big announcement here soon enough on what's next here for you.
Yeah, man. Like Adrian, you know, like I've really dedicated the last year of my life to mixed martial arts. Like, you know, when I think about it,
like five.
Yeah, I've only been fighting. I only fought, like, my first fight was really slightly over a year now, and I'm 4-1, and yeah, like, you know, the more and more time goes by, like, the more and more invested I get in myself, and. Yeah, man, I guess for my announcement, yeah, like I'm moving to Las Vegas and to level up my training, to level up just like my entire team and my camp. And I think it's something that's necessary for me because, you know, I think that – and El Paso has been awesome for me, man. Like and I think that – but I think I'm ready to take that next step, and I think I'm ready to move forward and chase my dream to become a world champion in the UFC or any major promotion, really. And that's why, like, again, like, I look at someone like Aaron Jones, and I'm like, I look at him, and I'm like, that's what I want to do for my family. I want to be able to provide for my family through, like, off of my hard work, and that's why he's inspirational for me. But, you know, just chasing my dream and continuing to chase my dream and continuing to take these steps and move forward and yeah, I guess to answer your question, if you guys want to follow me, All Day J All Day, and then J-A-Y MMA on Instagram and on YouTube and on TikTok as well. But yeah, my journey into mixed martial arts and I will, and God willing, you know, like I will be in the UFC and hopefully in the next couple years and I will reach world champion status, and I believe that about myself. And this is my second opportunity, you know, at becoming a world class athlete, you know, and I know how to bless myself now, and I'm so blessed. I love my family. I love God, and so yeah, for me, it's the next step is to move to Las Vegas and to continue to just chase my dream and to visualize and to chase my vision and have it come to fruition this time, you know?
And for the listeners who might not understand, why Vegas? Like why is Vegas important for the move?
Well, because it's the fight capital of the world and everybody's there. You know what I mean? Even if they don't live there, guys are training there in and out of Vegas all the time. El Paso has been great. Shout out to Elite Kickboxing, 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu El Paso, Zen Martial Arts. I wrestle at I'm training all over the place. I wrestle at Wildcats. So shout out to all my coaches, Coach Carlos, Juan, Coach Chris, and the list goes on and on and on. And they've got me to this point, but I think for me it's time to take the next step, which would be to move to Las Vegas, the fight capital of the world, and again, continue to chase my dream and go for broke behind my vision. So
I hope to see you soon then here in El Paso, maybe watching a UTEP football game, maybe supporting the Miners here moving forward. Maybe you got some coaches or players or former teammates who were joining you here today, come out and watch you fight here in the future as well.
100%. Yeah, I told all the coaches, and I was like, yeah, man, and the boys too. Is like, and I also invited the boys. I'm like, man, if you guys ever want to come train the big guys, the O-linemen and stuff, I'm like, man, you guys are always welcome to come wrestle, whatever. But yeah, I told Coach Juan, I'm like, man, when I do get a fight, you know, I'm waiting for my wife is 9 months pregnant, so I'm waiting for the baby to pop. So once the baby pops, hopefully late May, be on the lookout, guys, for me, late May, early June, hopefully late June. But I told him, I'm like, yeah, man, I'll shoot you guys the link. and you guys could watch me live, get the boys to watch me live. And again, I'm never Nick Saban said this, man, like focusing on an outcome is a distraction. So I'm like, I don't worry about winning or losing, but I can guarantee everybody that's listening that I will go out there and I will perform at a very high level. And every time you guys see me, I will have taken a lot of steps and progressed and evolved as a fighter. And every time you guys see will turn on the TV, I will be impressive and I will be fight of the night. I should be main event every single time that I fought thus far. I should have been the main event. Actually, I am the main event as far as I see it because, you know, I was the fight of the night. You know, just simple as that. And I'm always looking to impress. It's the entertainment business, and you know, God willing, I just continue down this path, and you guys will see me here soon in the UFC and climbing the ranks in the UFC as well. So awesome, I'm excited, stuff. Man. God bless you guys. Thank you guys for having me on.
Hey, always great to have you. AJ Hotchkins joining us here as we continue. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, more of Minor Talk. You want to call in 915-505-6009 with your spring football reactions. Let's do it right now as we continue here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Along with Alberto Retta, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're continuing here on the program, 915-505-6009, as we continue. Alberto, you got a chance to hear from AJ. I think my biggest takeaway from him, from the alumni standpoint, is that they felt so welcomed and that they felt like that everybody, you know, who wanted them there genuinely wanted them to be coaches, to shed light on this team. And I love the resource side of it. It was like, hey, look, you know, some of these guys, when you're done with football, you got to think of life outside of football. And that's what these alumni coming around, that's the value that they can bring for sure.
Yeah, Scotty Walden is a phenomenal coach. And I think it's really important to see how he treats guys who have no affiliation to him, just affiliation to the program, right? So, like, for example, guys like AJ, he didn't coach AJ. He just got here, but he treated him with a lot of respect and a lot of a lot of respect, and he wanted him to pass on some of that wisdom onto his younger guys. So I think that's really important and speaks volumes about the type of guy that Scotty Walden is. Like AJ said, he came in here, he spoke very highly of him, and I'm sure that's not for nothing. And so, to me, UTEP athletics has always been, it's never really been about the wins and losses. It's really been about the part. Well, it's about forming citizens in the community that are formidable people, you know. And I think that's what UTEP athletics has done, and that's what these guys have shown. It's like, hey man, not everyone's gonna go play in the NFL, but if you want to whatever you want to do after, as long as you're an upstanding citizen, it's gonna be all right. And then there's a lot of options for you, like AJ said, you can find the MMA.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you're right. I mean, you're really bringing this, you're bringing this home as far as saying, like, yeah, of course, you want these guys to graduate, become great people, and then, you know, move forward, and they could model themselves after some of these other alumni. So I see your point. Let's go to Twitter. We got a couple different posts to read. Let's go to this one. It starts with Chuko Wayne. My daughter and I attended. We enjoyed the atmosphere and energy. My daughter was happy to see the UTEP women's basketball team and players in attendance. Too early to make a win-loss prediction, but I can say our fans have hope for the future. I agree completely with that final statement. It's too early to tell you two wins, three wins, four wins, whatever you want to say, or even give a win total right now. So good stuff, Chuko Wayne. I really appreciate you chiming in, and thanks for listening in here on the program as we continue. Also, this is coming in from our great pal, Tristan Pence. Great to see him, and great to hear that he was out there today. He says this, number one, went to the game, and it was a fun event. Coach Scotty Walden has brought a great energy to the program. The Miners have some playmakers on both sides of the ball. Wide receivers look good. The defense seems faster. The battle for the starting quarterback will be interesting. Hashtag Miner Talk. The Miners will be fun to watch this season. The energy is there and the talent is there. They compete for a Conference USA Championship. It's just getting players calibrated to the new system. August can't get here soon enough. Hashtag Miner Talk. Good stuff there, Tristan. I appreciate it. As far as, you know, the makings of a conference title team. Oh man, I just, you know, oh man, win five games, win six games, become bowl eligible again before you talk conference titles. I see your excitement. I see the energy, and I see where you're going with that. I just think it's you know, the Miners are – I don't think they're at that place right now where they can hope for conference titles just yet. Yeah, they just they got to figure out how to continue to or I would say this. They have to figure out how to win consistently. I think that will be one of the keys for, you know, the Miners moving forward. And maybe head coach Scotty Walden can help do that here moving forward. Let's see what happens. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number as we continue. We're starting to wind things up here on the program. And I really appreciate everybody chiming in on the show. It's been a great show. It's been great to have people like Cade call in, Jadrian Taylor, AJ Hodgkin stop by as well. Been a lot of fun for all that kind of stuff. I'll ask you this, Alberto. Crystal ball prediction. If you had to go and look into your crystal ball and you had to tell me right now, is this team a winning team or a losing team in year one of Scotty Walden, with whatever you need to preface this? And I'm talking winning is a record that includes 6 wins or more. Losing would be 5 wins or less. Tell me what you would think. If you had to make any sort of predictions right now, what would you say?
Just because of the schedule that they have, I'm going to have to say it's going to be a losing schedule. But I think it's going to be one that still excites fans and still has them come out the year after that.
Okay, I think that's a fair answer, and I actually really like that answer because, look, if you're going to have a losing season but you have optimism for the future, I think that's the steps in the right direction. You look at how tough the schedule is. Let's run it down. At Nebraska versus Southern Utah, that should be a win. That's an FCS team. At Liberty, at Colorado State versus Sam Houston, at Western Kentucky versus Florida International, at La Tech versus Middle Tennessee versus Kennesaw State, at Tennessee, at New Mexico State. That's how they close out the season. Tough schedule right there when you look at it. Even not knowing anything about those teams right there, it's just a tough schedule. Just travel purposes and historical purposes too. Miners don't typically do great against some of these teams that they're playing next year. So, hey, I think we're starting to wind things up here on the program. Alberto, give me some final thoughts here as we wind it up here for Miner Talk after the spring game.
I mean, the energy was high, the excitement was high, and it was provided by Coach Scotty Walden, and that's something that refreshes fans when you compare it to Dana Dimmel. And I think that direct translation or that direct transition from Dana Dimmel to Scotty Walden and everything that they're seeing on both social TV and hearing from everyone else, I think that that's bringing a lot of excitement and it's drawing a lot of eyes to the program. And what we saw from the recruits is obviously that it is drawing a lot of eyes from the most important people, the recruits. So
yeah,
it's working. That's why I came on here and I stumbled, but I said, he's doing what he said. He's doing what it's kind of working. He ran a bunch of plays really, really fast. He brought a bunch of recruits. He's got his eyes on a bunch of big name recruits that are, he's already made history recruit wise once. He had a strong recruit year that first year on a short notice. So he's doing a lot of things on a short amount of time. And so I'm cautiously optimistic, and I hope other fans are too. And I think that it's going to be an exciting year and a profitable year for UTEP football.
Good stuff. Hey, I'll leave everybody with this right here. I don't know what you could take away from this team, but I could tell you that you could take a lot from the culture that looks to be established with this program. It looks like this program right here is willing to do a lot for, you know, just to have that kind of success moving forward. And I think they're taking the steps in the right direction to put out a winning product out there. So, yeah, there you go. Hey, I appreciate everybody listening. If you missed any of the Miner Talk podcast, check it out wherever you listen to podcasts as we continue. Special thanks to Danny Pedroza. I'm Adrian Broaddus. Of course, we had Alberto Retta with us as well. You're listening to Miner Talk, presented by the Oscar Arrieta Agency here on 600 ESPN El Paso.